Jesus, you're here. This evening, just before we read our scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful for this opportunity, Father, once again to be here on your resurrection day, Father, and Lord, to be able to take communion and to foot wash, Father, as you've commanded us. Lord, we just take it with pride, Father, and just a grateful opportunity that you've given to us, Father. Open your word to us now, Father, and may you just speak to our hearts, Lord, for what we'd have need of. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. The thought, a vow, came to me a few weeks ago. And so tonight, or this part, or this Sunday, is going to be the spiritual aspect of it. And the vow and the promises that God has given to us. And then next Sunday, I would like to go into the vow in a human personal level. And that means your relationship with Christ, your relationship with each other as a church, and relationship with man and woman. So pray for me on that one. It's going to be a little more studying, I think, to get that one to come together. In 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 20, I didn't know we were going to use the same scripture and theme today, but that just shows that the Lord is working on both ends. Amen. And verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, I don't know if, not promoting TV or anything, but the new David series, the guy they used to play Samuel, I kind of a little bit scoffed at it because, I mean, he's got a big old long beard, and his hair is really long. Well, I didn't know that he had a Nazarite vow the same as Samson, that no razor was to come upon his head. So that's an interesting fact that I learned, and I didn't realize that. No razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued to pray before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Beel, however you say that. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Amen. That is a true definition of if you have something that you lay at the feet of God and you truly, truly commit it to him, you leave it there and you don't deal with it anymore. It's his responsibility. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And I'm not sure how her husband, Elkanah, knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And there, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. Let's see what Brother Branham has to say about vows and the promises that God has given to us. Amen. In this hour. Also, notice Christ's word bride is headed up also. And we see where the Antichrist is heading, beginning back there and now coming to a head. An ecumenical council will be put into an ecclesiastical head. And the little church that's come along also, Christ's word bride down through the age, is coming to a head. Amen. The reaper, the tares, and the wheat grow together. Amen. They're both coming to maturity because she's going to be united back to its mate. Always, just like the church and everything else, it's got to unite. The wheat, everything else, comes right back to its head where it started from, like Cain and Abel. Word bride headed up in the person of the Word of God made manifest in this evil age that we're living in. See where it's headed up? And Satan will soon take his intellectual bride and exalt this great one, which is the Antichrist. The heresies and set hierarchies and set him upon a throne. And the whole world will wander after him. And then Christ will come, and the two cannot exist in the same time.
Amen.
Amen. And his kingdom will be taken. He'll be destroyed. And Christ, the word of God, which the woman, the church, is a part of the man's body. Amen. So, as I said, was it last Sunday? Just think of a coin. Each side, one side's spiritual, one side's natural. Okay, there's Brother Branham was a typologist, and we're going to read some quotes in here. And if you actually look at them in the reverse, you see a whole new thing. And he really wasn't talking about what he was talking about in a way. Is part of a man's body. They're not two. They're one. And the bride, the church, the word, a people called out from here and there for his name's sake. Amen. And they will unite in the body of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of the Antichrist will be taken and destroyed. And Christ shall take the throne and set upon the throne of his father David and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. Then present the church of God without spot or blemish. Yes. Now notice her long hair, okay? Instantly you think of our sisters that wear long hair and wear long skirts. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the church. So notice her long hair, the church. It's a Nazarite vow to the word.
Yep.
I'll picture the bride of Christ now. We picture the Antichrist where she is, religious and everything, science. Now, the humble little bride of Christ just simply believes the word. Whoever she is, it's individuals. I hope and trust that there are many sitting present, many listening in. And I hope that myself and every one of you are part of that bride. I hope many. And it will, all that's been ordained to that will be that because it's their nature. They see the word can only recognize the word.
Amen.
It can't recognize a denomination or a perversion. It knows better. It's the word. See, it can't recognize nothing. A wheat can be nothing but a wheat. Amen. You can't fake what you are. It started a wheat. It'll head up a wheat. And a weed can never be a wheat. Yet it is watered by the same anointing. The same tapes that they hear, you hear also. One creates life and the other doesn't. It's just repetition. Goes over their head. Yet it's watered by the same anointing. See, but it ain't a wheat. As I said the other day about the tree with the different branches on it, it's where he's talking about the graft. Her long hair, the church, that Nazarite vow, shows that she's vowed to God. Her beautiful gown of his promised word for the age that she's living in. Amen. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost, right? Is that you are dressed and you are wearing the word of God for your age. Amen. Wrapped around her, vindicating her with himself. Of Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As she is a part of the word, groom, true to him in every point. Now look, if a woman goes out here and is married to a man, and if she goes out and makes love with another man, okay, that's a story. If a church goes out here and is married to Christ, and she goes out and makes love with another church, another Christ, a false Christ, right? A denomination, and has affairs with him, with the denomination, and come back to her husband, he should kick her out. Is that right? She must be true to him because she is vowed to him. And the bride of Christ is vowed to Christ, and he is the word. Not even wink at the other side. A woman should not even wink at another man. So you take Brother Branham. He had nothing. He was kind of like Jesus in a way. He had no home, really. He was wandering from to and fro, traveling constantly, doing what God told him to do, right? It was his calling. Not even wink. So when you see the other churches and they have massive choirs and tons and of people, oh, I'd like to go there. Whoa, brother, sister, stop. And I'm not trying to preach a stay here message. You go where God tells you to. But when you lust or you wink at those things, it's adultery in the sight of God. Not even wink at the other side. A church should not even wink at another man. Should she make no signs, no emotions at all towards him, for she is absolutely a bride to one bridegroom. We don't want none of your mixed trees, your denominations. Be true to Christ, the word. He'll vindicate it to be true. No, sir, not even any emotion of anything making love to him. Not join his ranks. Oh, Senior Pastor Jones. Nonsense. We are all one body. In ranks and everything else. And let him get you in his arms. Oh, they love that, don't they? Set up behind the platform, just tons of them. In case and talk you over this way, that way, and you listen only to one voice. Amen. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger will they not follow. So for those people that are tapes only, no offense, but I'm going to make a comment. And they see that quote, they stop right there and they don't read the rest. You listen to only that one voice. And then they work themselves up among each other and make it a fear thing to be able to actually listen to the Holy Ghost in some teacher, or listen to the Holy Ghost in some prophet that's still here, or some pastor or evangelist or apostle. But he said, my sheep hear my voice. And that's what I've been preaching for the last two or three Sundays. Do you recognize where and who he is right now? He's still here, brother, sister. Do we know who he is? We're going to get there probably next Sunday. What is his voice, Brother Branham says? And a man's voice is his word. And that is it. The Bible. Amen? we don't say nothing else but what the Bible says and all that it says. I'm not going to cut that part out because I don't like it and then weave this over here. Why? It's perfect the way it is if you read and use all of it. Not one word to be added to it or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice, the Bible. A stranger they won't follow, a denomination. And you see that trying to creep in to our midst, don't you? Not this church, but as the message as a whole. As she is part of the groom, true to him in every point, waiting the wedding. United, not at an ecumenical council, but in the sky at the wedding supper. Amen. But has been given, this is for our own church. She has been given and revealed to her the seven seals mysteries of the Bible. See, she sees the folly of the deceiver so very close to the truth that almost deceive the elected, but she sees it. See, the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. Can you see it? Each very religious. It's not the bootlegger and the tattooed guy on the street versus us. It's very religious. It's in the church. Cain and Abel, brothers, spirits again coming to their heads, still the same as they started. One worshiping beauty and by knowledge, and by education and by science and by ethics. Do you check all the boxes? And the other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. Both of them is standing right in this building this morning. That's right. Amen. That's from God of this Evil Age in 65. Brother Branham continues. You said cutting hair, what's that got to do with it? Brother, let's stop here just a minute. I feel somebody resented that. Might have been out on the wire somewhere. Listen, a hair to a woman, a hair, the word, the covering, hair is the covering, right? To the church is a Nazirite vow. Hair to Samson was a Nazirite vow. And when a church, a woman, cuts off her hair. So when you separate yourself from the Word of God, or you read through here and you're like, I like that one, I don't like that one, I like this one, I don't like that one. What are you doing? You're cutting. You're cutting out what you don't want to fit your religion. She absolutely denies her Nazirite vow that she is the bride to Christ. Because there, that one thing, she spoils the whole picture correctly. A Nazirite, I was going to actually put a definition in here, and I kind of looked through Strong's and those, and it just really wasn't right. And I knew Brother Branham had to have a definition, right? And I like this one. A Nazirite is one that's consecrated for a purpose. We, brother and sister, as the bride of Christ, have a purpose. We're not here to suntan, to lay in the presence. We do that. But there is a work for us to do. Is that right? Samson was consecrated to an age and to a purpose. The bride is consecrated to the bride age and to this purpose. Therefore, he had long hair. The woman, that's a child of God, lets her hair grow to show that she's consecrated to every word of God. Amen. And the reason Brother Brian doesn't even preach us, you know, clothesline religion every Sunday. Okay. If you don't have the Word of God in your heart and it doesn't come from here and just naturally come out as wheat, and you do what the Bible says, and it's not a chore, brother, sister. It's not, oh, I got to do this, you know. It's because you love him that you do those things. Amen. Well, then that shows that what's inside of you, that Nazarite vow, is actually showing on the outside, right? Amen. It's not, you don't have to force yourself to do it. If she cuts it off, I don't care how much she dances and sings and is in the choir and speaks in tongues and runs up and down the aisle or has all kinds of aid society, she's dead. What does the Revelation say? They're miserable. They're blind and they're naked. They literally take the word off every chance they can get. They take it off. So they stripping the word, the clothing from themselves. That's thus saith the Lord in the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah, she has denied her Nazarite vow and sold out to the God of this modern age. Amen. They sell out to have the bigger church and they'll quit preaching this or quit preaching that because they may lose a tithe member. Nonsense. She does it. Now, shame on you, lady or woman. Shame on you, churches and you ministers, so-called. The God of this evil age and 65. We find that this Samson was a Nazarite. This is just the classic story, but we're going to go ahead and read it. He had seven little curls that hang down his back, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he feared nothing. Why? He was persistent as long as he could feel that Nazarite vow with him. As long as he could reach back here and feel those locks, he knew that he was in the will of God. And nothing could bind him. Amen? So as long as you stay in his word, as long as you stay in his presence, nothing from this world can bind you. Amen? The city could not bind him. The lion could not kill him. He took the jawbone of a mule, it dry, and beat down 1,000 Philistines with it. Do you know those helmets, those brass helmets, was over an inch thick? Do you know what would have happened when an old desert dry bone would hit against that? Why, it would burst into a million pieces. But he stood there single-handed with this jawbone of the mule and beating over their head and killed 1,000 Philistines. Why? He was persistent. Every time he hit, he felt the Nazarite vow move back upon him. How much ought the church tonight that claims to be born of the Spirit of God, amen, standing in the meeting and see the vindication of the resurrected Jesus Christ and claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost and could sit still and let Satan push you around like he does. It's a strange thing. As long as you can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost and know that his word and his promise for this day, you should be persistent and press in until it's over. Persistent, perseverance, stay with it. God promised it. It's not you, it's God. Amen. We don't got to do anything except for just follow his command, right? And that's from Perseverant in 64. And if we would study what we were doing when we're going to get married, when we choose our wife or our husband, if we'd study it over, a man should pray earnestly, for he could ruin his entire life. Remember, the vow is until death do we part, regardless of your decision. And he could ruin his life by making that wrong choice. But if he knows what he's making the wrong choice and is marrying the woman that isn't fit to be his wife, and he does it anyhow, then it's his fault. Amen. And if the woman takes a husband and knows that he's not fit to be a husband to you, then that's your own fault. And after you know what's right and wrong, so you shouldn't do it until you're thoroughly prayed through. And the same applies by choosing a church. Now, you must pray over the church that you are fellowshipping in. Remember, churches carry spirits. Now, I don't want to be critical, but I realize that I'm an old man. And I'm going to leave here one of these days. And I've got to answer at that day of judgment for what I say tonight and any other time. I've got to be dead earnest and truly convicted. And that's from Choosing of a Bride in 65. And still, we find out in this age that we're now living, see, that the womb, the Pentecostal organization, looked just exactly like the real thing. But did you realize that Revelation 17, it called the Roman Catholic Church the first organization? Not even a denomination, an organization? A whore. How many knows that's true? How many knows that she was the mother of harlots? What is the immoral woman? Now, he said this woman was the church. What is the whore? It is a woman that's untrue to her marriage vow. That is a harlot. Same thing, same word. Now, she gave birth. What kind of birth? Not to the word, but to organization. To an organization birth. Here is the Methodists, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and they all took the habits of their mother. An ornery-ish woman in California can give birth to a virgin girl, and that's why the first message come forth. He's talking about Pentecost. But when truth was presented to Luther's age of sanctification, he couldn't take it. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost was permitted, represented to the Methodists, they couldn't take it. And now, when the seed time is produced to the Pentecostals, she couldn't take it. She is organized, but she has been a carrier of that seed. Amen? An incubator, if you want to call it that. And that's "The Seed Shall Not Be Heir with the Shuck" in 1965. Look, in the Old Testament, when an agreement was made, it was under the basis of the shed blood. Quickly now, listen, what did they do? In the Oriental type, they took an animal and cut it and killed it and cut it in two. And they took it out here after they had torn it in two, tore the animal in two, and laid it out here. Each man got in there, and they wrote this agreement with each other, and they cut that and tore that into two. One man took one piece, and the other took the other piece, like this. And they made a vow. They made a promise over the dead body of this animal. And if they failed to keep their covenant, may they be as this dead animal that they had taken the covenant over. Meaning, you break your promise, you're dead. If they failed, okay? They've taken the cover. See, the promise was made through the blood. That's why the death, burial, and the resurrection is so important to us as Christians. Amen? God made a vow to us. Via his son. He tore him apart and shed the blood that he sent down. He vowed that he would keep his word, that he would finish the promise that he made to you and I. Amen. I believe that. In John 15:16, I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. Hey, you see it in a movie maybe once in a while where a woman tries to propose to a man. Kind of looks odd, doesn't it? Because it's not right. But the man proposes to the woman, right? He promised. He promised. He made a vow. And God can't lie. Amen? I like that scripture, Brother Brian. I'm adding some. I had to write them down. in his sermon this morning, John 16 and 7. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's important, and I need to get out of here as fast as possible. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I do, I will send him unto you. Amen. I'm so glad. This is the only way for us to get back. Amen. And Deuteronomy 31 and 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or abandon you, nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and be not discouraged. That's God himself making a vow to you. And he tore his son apart and shed his blood. Do you think that he's not going to keep his promise? He will keep his promise. He made Abraham a promise, didn't he? For a promised son. And he kept his promise. Amen. Where was I in here? Through the blood. The covenant was made through the blood. See what I mean? Now, our promise was made through the blood. God Almighty took the body, the Lord Jesus Christ, up to Calvary, and there he tore it in two. He took the body up into glory to sit at the right hand of the Majesty and sent the Holy Ghost back here. And when these believers come together with the covenant, both pieces of the paper had to be dovetailed direct together, or it was absolutely the wrong piece of paper. Amen. You have to have both pieces, right? What is both pieces? Covenant. It's a covenant, right? Here's one. Where's the other one? Yeah, right here. And if they don't fit together, you got the wrong piece. Amen? Both pieces of paper had to dovetail together. Why? Because this reflects what's written in here. That's the only way it can live. Or it was absolutely the wrong piece of paper. And the only way that God will ever receive a man is when he comes on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the same baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same power, with the same signs, with the same wonders, and with the same glory, with the same miracles, will just exactly like it was back there when he was torn apart. The Holy Ghost is here today putting in a church together, making the same kind of a church it was on the day of Pentecost, on the basis of the shed blood, God's covenant, when Christ was torn apart. His body was received up and his spirit came back to earth to look out at a church for him. Amen. And here it is, bringing you the same thing, with the same signs, the same wonders, the same things Jesus did, said, you shall do also. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And here we are on the basis of the shed blood. Don't you want to come to such as that, friend? Amen. That's from Christ in 65. But as we must fight if we must reign. So we find out that the bride has to make herself ready. He's given you all that you need. He's given you socks. He's given you trousers. And he's given you a coat. For the ladies, he's given you a dress, right? It's the word. Put it on. You have to make yourself ready. As babies, you dress the baby, right? You're on milk, as Paul says. He has to help you along. Come on now, put your shoes on. This is how you tie it. But we're not babies anymore. We have meat in what? Due season. We know how to dress ourselves. And if you're undressed, it's nobody's fault but yours. Make yourself ready. Be willing to lay aside every weight that so easily beset us that we might run with patience. That's the only way you're going to win this race, with patience. The race that's set before us, we must lay them aside ourselves. We can't say, God, you come lay them aside for us. He's done child training. We got to do that ourselves. Now, I like to think of weddings. I've had the privilege of marrying quite a few people. And I think when I bring a young man and a young woman down to the altar and see them come down through the church, and she pretty with her wedding garments on and the veil over her face hanging down, and the bridegroom straight, dressed beautiful, and the young and full of vigor, as they walk down there in their very best of life and take that marriage vow, I think there is something sweet about it. There is something sacred, because that it reminds me that there will be another great wedding someday. When Christ's bride will come walking down the corridors of glory. I've been married once. Did I go put the dress on my wife? No. I hope she shows up in a dress. Right? A wedding dress. I didn't have to do that. She did it herself. I dressed myself. I put a suit on. Amen. Then we made a vow, right? The bridegroom will have everything ready. There'll be a wedding and a supper. How we love to think of sitting across the table from one another and to shake one another's hands and tears running down our cheeks, and to think he will come around and wipe the tears from your eye. Don't cry. It's all over. Amen. Enter into the joys of the Lord that have been prepared for you since when? The foundation of the world? He knew his own bride? That's something. Oh, brother, that will make us love one another more. I think that's what's the matter with the church, the bride today. That's what's made up of all the churches that believes in Christ. It's not the church building. Neither is it the organization or the denomination. But it's the individuals that's in the church that makes the bride. Yep. There'll be some here. There'll be some there. Amen. We're going to see those brothers and those sisters that are actually his bride. The marriage supper of the Lamb in 62. And when we, excuse me. And when we take our pledge to Christ, if we don't become part of him, like a woman ought to become part of a man, and a man part of the woman, then we're artificial Christians. We're not really, you're really not married to the woman. You might be loyal if you don't love your husband and him 60 or 70 years old, and you don't love him as good as you did in the beginning, then you're really just raising his children. Amen. That's what churches are. Bunch of babysitters. They're not really espoused to Christ. Okay. And that's the way the churches are. Too many today. And we're just taking the name of the Christian church, pretending to be the bride. Can you imagine if Christina promised me that she would marry me, did the dress, walked down the aisle, and then as soon as the wedding was over, just disappeared? That's kind of how it is with God in a lot of salvations. You promise God that you'll do this and you'll serve him and you'll these promises, you'll make those vows. And then where are you to be found? Have you kept those vows? Or is it just they're gone? That's the way a lot of churches are today. Pretend to be the bride. When it's artificial, they're not connected with Christ in any way. we're like an artificial tooth or an artificial arm or an artificial eye. See, it's something that's artificial if we're just putting it on. Well, you can't put on Christianity. You've got to be connected with it. And then a church that's just artificial called the Church of Christ, well, them children then are not in there that's born of the same organization. It's only they're not Christ's children. They are denominational children and not children of Christ. Why? Because, as Brother Brian put it with the mule, they're bastard born. It was adultery from one church to another, spiritual. If the woman isn't connected with the man in trueness, then it isn't her husband. It's just a man. She's taken a vow to live with, and she took a wrong vow. She pledged to love him. She said she loved him, and she didn't do it. All the time, the man is deceived. But there's one thing sure, friends. We're not going to be deceived to deceive Christ. He knows his own. As Brother Brian says, know and experience, right? You're born again. But you see, first decisions made, next engagements, and then the promise. And then the ceremony. And that's when the bride takes the bridegroom's name. She is no more than of her own name. She takes the bridegroom's name. What is that name? Miss Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. And then when the church takes the ceremony, takes the promises, then she takes the bridegroom's name. Then she is no longer a church of the world. She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't mean that by name, I mean that by birth, born again. How Nicodemus asked Jesus, how do I get in? You must be born again. And by nature, and by the power, the right way to choose of God. Amen. By the revealed truth of God in the heart, she becomes a Christian church. The great universal apostolic Christian church. She becomes a part of Christ when she does that. See, Christ injects into her his own spirit, his own life. That's why that was such a good scripture, John 16:7. It's expedient that he leave and send back his spirit. It was a short time, but it was necessary. Only 40 days, right? And the Bible said to Adam and Eve there, you are no longer twain, but one. And when the woman, the church, is married to Christ, they are no longer two. They are one. Christ in you. Amen. That's it. His life has been brought into you, then you become the bride. And that's the marriage of the Lamb in 62. That's God's purpose. And his purpose as Father Supreme was to be one with his family. Earthly family. Adam and Eve. And the only way that they could be one with the family or with God was because God's nature was in them. So that made them, with God's nature in them, then with each other and God, they became one. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God in his family, Father over us all, supreme, no death, no sorrow, no heartache, no nothing. Just joy unspeakable, never to be sick, never to have a heartache, just one with God. What a picture. Because the very nature of God was in these people. He's in me. Is he in you? And therefore, what they did, they followed just in the line with God, and God with them made them one. Now, Jesus prayed in John, the 17th chapter. in the 11th verse. To you who put down these Sunday school texts, I have many of them this morning. John 17:11, Jesus prayed that the church and he would be one like he and the Father were one. That the church, we as members of the body of Christ, would be one together, just like he and the Father are one. And at that day, we would know that he was in the Father, and the Father in him, and he in us. That together we were one. What a union. A oneness that would be to see God in his church. Till every member is just perfectly in harmony with each other and God. That's the church that Jesus is coming for. That's when his prayer will be answered, that we will be one. And it is the only grounds of fellowship that God has ever laid down for himself and his church. You want to read that again? God himself has a rule for himself and his church. Is the oneness of himself in the people. That's the only grounds of fellowship. And the only way that you can have those grounds is by a union to be united with him forever. Just like when you unite with your husband, the woman to unite with her husband, it is a vow until death. Now, then when you unite with God, it's the same thing that the church united with Christ. It's until death do we part. And then if you never sin or do anything wrong, you'll be eternally united with God. And the only death can take you away from God, and not physical death, but the sin of death. I mean, that's disbelief. The sin is death, and that takes you away from God. So to be united with him and in spirit and of his power is eternal life. You're eternally united with God. Oh, I want to get that. After a bit, united eternally with the eternal God, perfectly in harmony with him, perfectly united together, and the church that all, both God and his church, is one, united together. Amen. Oneness in 62. There's only one church, and you can't join it. You're born into it. You're predestinated to it. The mystical body of Jesus Christ, rather. And Jesus Christ here on earth with the Word being made manifest, sons and daughters of God, they belong to none of it. Come out from among them, he said. Yeah. Watch quickly now. I don't want to tire you out, but if you just give me a few more minutes now, I'll go as quick as I can. But I want you to be sure to get it so that you won't miss it. See? Remember, Mother Rome was found in her full of blasphemous names, a mother of harlots. Then if they are harlots, what is the harlot? What is a whore? The same thing as a harlot. It's a woman that lives untrue to her marriage vow. It's a church that lives untrue to the word. And any church that claims to be the church of Christ and denies God's word, she's untrue to her marriage vow. Then she commits adultery by adding dogmas and whoredom with the word and her wisdom instead of accepting Christ and the power of his resurrection by the Holy Ghost. And she is the mother of harlots that done the same thing. Pot can't call kettle greasy. You know, see, six one, half a dozen the other. Some of these people run along, just make fun of all the Catholic and belong to one of them in the same things themselves. She was the mother of the false baptism in water. See, anything contrary to God's word is adultery. It's whoredom. God hates it. It's the only thing he hates, right? She was the mother of the false baptism water. She was the mother of the false evidence of the Holy Ghost, right? Speaking in tongues. And you follow right along with her. Now let's see. And why I'm against organized religion in 62. I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The word always knows its own. But as I've said, that remember criticism on the account of the word of God is only growing pains of his grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be a Christian. You've made that vow to act like one, to live like one, to obey every commandment of God, and it's a Nazarite vow to separate yourself and call from God that separate a call from God that separates you from the things of the world. I believe tonight that every man and woman, every boy and girl that's born of the Spirit of God is a Nazarite unto the Lord, because they have separated themselves themselves from the cares of the world and whatever the world has got to say. God's word calls from a total separation in 64. Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that understand say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful, Father, for your vow to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we take our vow serious, Father, and that we apply your word to ourselves, Father, in that clothing and that dressing that you have given to us. Father, that you would return to find a bride that is fully dressed. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your prophet in this hour that helps to bring these things to us, Lord, and to keep us fresh. And Lord, we thank you for that so much, Father. It's just a blessing to us, Father. We don't want to take that lightly or for granted, Father. As we get ready for communion tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would wash our minds, our hearts, and our bodies, Father, that we would be pure, sanctified, and holy as we approach your table. Forgive us for the things that we know to do and we don't do. Lord, the unbelief or the little foxes that snare the vine, Father, Father, we cleanse them. We place them under your blood just now, and we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.